West West, y'all.
Here's Ola. Oh, he's away from one, away from another. Look at this!
Hello, Falavara, and welcome to another episode of the 135 Footy Show, proudly part of the Wes Wes Network. Welcome in the boys. Talofa Fisher Harris, how's it going, mate? Missed you last week.
Hello, boys. Yeah, man. How's it been, man? Good to be here.
Not too bad, us. And welcome back, Bob. Thanks for coming for another round, mate. Talofa, us.
How's it going, fellas?
Good, mate. Yeah, good. After another full-on week, how you guys been? Any shout-outs? We'll go to you, Si. We want to do this little shout-out section.
Hey, shout-outs.
Yeah. I heard on another podcast.
Shout-outs to the Warriors for the fucking big signing we got today, bro. It was good timing, Potty. But that just got unleashed on us today because I was a bit like, hey, this is April Fool's kind of fucking news for real. Because usually you get a bit of a warning, eh? Like someone gets signed and it's about a couple of weeks of news and it's official. But this one came out of the blues. Big ups to the Warriors.
Cheers, mate.
No, bro. I just wanted to make a plug to the Crushers Union team. The juniors are starting this week, so. All the Gold Coast clubs, good luck to everyone.
Oh, nice. Yeah, shot. Good work on the stuff you're doing at the club too, man. Any shout-outs, Bobby?
Yeah, same here. Shout-out to the Warriors recruitment. These fellas are doing an awesome job. When they're able to replace players like Adam Fennell Blake leaving at the end of the season with someone like Fisher Harris, it's always keeping Warriors fans happy. Shout out to the Westlake Girls Samoan group who started their practice for their bus fico night they've got happening on the 4th of July. That's just a plug for my girl and her group. So shout out Westlake Girls.
What's that for? Samoan language because any?
Because they didn't enter into Polyfest. They just do like a bus fico night midway through winter. Just a showcase of culture.
Yeah, a lot of schools doing that, eh? Don't do Pacifica, but just do their own inter-school polyfest kind of thing. Celebrate culture. Sicky. All right, boys, let's get straight into it. First game last Thursday. Tough one. Roosters and the Knights. Bobby, me and you both went Roosters on this last week. Go to you first, Si. You catch this one, man?
Yeah, well, so I managed to catch most of this game, bro. I thought the Knights were they kind of let down Ponga, man. Ponga played awesome. He's playing fucking every game this year, man. He's been one of their best players. But there was a moment in that late in that second half. Oh no, so it was the last 5 minutes was me.
Yeah.
I think they scored to come within two. And then, bro, Ponga makes this break after returning the ball from close to his try line, bro. And solid, no one was pushing up, man.
Yeah, that's right. Their last one at the end there.
Anyway, they managed to go all the way down to their try line. And what's his name? The number 13 there. He's been playing really well as well. He poked his nose through. No one backing him up as well.
Elliot.
So, man, the Knights are like a little bit there or thereabouts. They do enough to stay in games, but just not. I think it's just but just him and the Fa'ili, like he needs a bit of help. I think they got the halves combination a lot better now with
Koga. Yeah, Koga look quite good in there.
But nah, bro, it was it's a tough one to assess Roosters as well, eh? They just Man, you look at that list, that team list, bro, they should be up there, man. Top two, top three. But I don't think they're travelling too well. They kind of got away with this one with a little bit of individual play, but Yeah, bro, it was entertaining at the end. Good close game. I think the whole round was quite close, but one or two games there that the scoreline stretched out. But yeah, man, pity on the Knights, bro. They're not sitting too well on the ladder, but I think they're better than what they're sitting at.
Yeah, did you catch this one, Bobby?
Like Joe Manu in that game was outstanding. Like him filling in for Teddy at fullback, he just looks like a better fit at fullback for the Roosters at the moment for me. And I mean, like getting all of those meters that he scored, that he got in that game, and just playing out of his skin.
Over 300 or something.
Yeah, you got like the record or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, those numbers, I don't know if they're fudged, 370, yeah.
Yeah.
Every time he plays fullback, man.
Yeah. He played really well. I think Sy's right. I think like the Roosters were really lucky. Like that Brandon Smith try at the beginning where he, because Kalen Ponga was injured and then he got caught up in the ruck and then he kind of turned his back to try and run back to fullback. And Brandon Smith just, you know, classy play, just picked the ball up and ran straight through and untouched. You know, Kellen was injured early in that game. And so he was a little bit off to begin with. But that was just, you know, that was individual brilliance that took the Roosters into their early lead. So, you know, I thought Tupou had a really good game. Like I mentioned last week about, you know, teams that have really good wingers that are aerial, you know, they can... That aerial attack for those teams that have wingers like the Tupou, like the Xavier Coates of the world, you know, it's really hard to try and defend against guys that are 6'6", jumping all over you to score tries. And so, you know, the Knights, I thought they, you know, to be honest, I thought they were going to get pumped in this game, but they did really well to hang on. Jackson Hastings, like he really didn't like getting dropped to reserve grade A because he had a really good game last week and then he had a really good game. So he's like, man, don't ever drop me again. You know, and I keep telling Caleb this for the Souths. It's like, you know, maybe Damien Cook, when he comes back, he'll be like super ready to go. But yeah, like I think having Angus Crichton coming back into the team is a big plus for the Roosters. Like their edge defense is really good, and he really shores up that defense. For mine, I think, I kind of was wondering who the other Ponga was because they kept saying Ponga,
Junior Ponga
for the Knights. Yeah. And then I was like, who's Ponga? Oh, they means Ponga, eh? Bolo here, commentator.
Yeah, just like, oh, Ponga's Ponga. I'm like, oh, yeah, relation.
Harder.
No, the Knights looked all right. It's just Bradman Best looking like getting his timing right for Origin. He had a couple of really good looking runs. Yeah, I don't know, the Roosters, like you're saying, that roster looks good, but several times they got pulled up just obstruction, like their own obstructions, just their timing's a bit off. You know, players running in front of each other and having to surrender. So, yeah, some pretty good signs there. Yeah, Roosters still looking to build. Good to see them kind of at the end celebrating Jennings, so, you know, doing that 300th for him. You know, the NRL, like we spoke last week, they didn't do anything. They didn't do you the usual 300 on the 30-meter line. But, yeah, no, you saw the boys, you know, celebrate them at the end, kind of come around them. So that was good to see, you know. They remembered why they were playing that game. So, yeah, it's probably good for them to get over the line with that 300 for Jennings. Yeah, what were you going to say, Sy?
Oh, another news from the week, bro. For next year, Joey Manu got signed to Japanese.
Yeah, French club.
I think it's Japanese.
Oh, Japanese.
A Japanese club with a French name.
I think Ian Foster's, I don't know if he's coach or...
For Aussie.
Or director or rugby or something like that, but I heard an interview of him talking about, you know, his athleticism and why they thought... why they thought he signed them. And it was funny because he came on, they played it on like this morning show, Brandy and Vossi, but they were so sarcastic. That Vossi was like, well, that's Ian Foster talking about this and that athlete and blah, blah, blah. We all know why he's going for the De Niro's, which is true, bro. But like, if you put yourself in a position as an athlete, as a back, and you do all this shit that fucking Manu can do, you have clubs like Japanese clubs, French clubs, chasing after you, man, because it's the same reason why the Wallabies signed Suoli. Which kind of leads me to, I'll just quickly throw it in there with the Roosters, whilst a bit disappointed, because this is their window, bro. This year is their window. They're losing money next year. They're losing Suoli. I think this is Jared Warrior Hargrove's last year. Kiri, wait for you. Kiri, man, like, he's one concussion away from chucking it in. I think this after this year, it's a rebuild next year. So they can't afford to drop many games, bro. They were lucky to get in the eight last year, but yeah, I just want to throw that one in there, man. I'm always for the athletes to get their money, man. Like, money, man, good on them.
Yeah, you even mentioned that was the reason why he's going. Like, to have a crack, but to make some coin. Like, Toyota Ver Blitz, that's where he's going. And, like, that team has Aaron Smith, Steph Detroit, South Africa. And yeah, Foster's a coach, so you know, money's played rugby before, so you know, it's not a foreign game to him, so I reckon he'll slot straight into whatever it is that he needs to. Like, he'll be all good.
And I think when you got those with Union, part of the pulling power is, like, you know, you could be a star player in the NRL and make as much coin, but that overseas experience, man, like, Union's truly global,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's the other thing, you know? Yeah.
Asia, Japan,
Europe.
He's giving these boys a chance to go and
America,
you know, experience the OE.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Like, why has League never broken into those places as much as Union has?
I don't think the...
It's a weird game, mate.
The people that hold on to... Like, the Union powers, the League powers in New Zealand, in Australia, in Great Britain. Like, they don't, I feel like there's too much of this going on. Like, there's too much patch protecting, and they don't want to let the game go up because, yeah, which is, it's unfortunate because it's a game that, you know, could really become global. Like, I keep thinking, man, South Africa is probably the perfect market for rugby league to get into. Because they are physical, they love the
body physicality. Type as well.
Yeah, hard out. Yeah, like,
huge,
those
ass, long, lanky guys.
It's like, why wouldn't you take the game over there? You know, in America as well. Like, that's a place that Union's starting to gain traction in over there. And, like, the competitions are small in an international scale, but, you know, when all you need is one player like Ma'anonu to go over there and give the place a bit of profile in the competition, and then, you know, they've got the population base to be able to. 1% of a city's population in America is still like the population of New Zealand going to support that sport. You know, so good on Joe Manu for doing what he's doing. He's still young. He's still able to go there and make as much money as he want, get all that international experience. You know, immerse himself in Japanese culture. That was the other thing that I read. He was really keen on taking his family over there and just getting into the whole Japanese way of life. So it's win-win for him.
Yeah, it'd be real interesting. Like you mentioned, Sai, like, just the, in terms of the age of a lot of these Roosters player, like, just the window for them. You're right. Like, some exciting guys like Tyrell May coming through in terms of the young ones, Nafahu White. But then, yeah, you've got the other side of the scale too, like guys like Crichton, Lindsay Collins. Oh, Collins is not that old. Or Waiwera Hargraves. So, yeah. Jennings. All right, let's move on to the second game of the night. This was a good one. The Storm game versus the Doggies. Man, Doggies looked pretty tough in this one. They I don't know, the Storm got away with this. Just those gritty wins they've been doing the last few weeks. I think it's a real warning sign too, because that's real. I guess that's warning signs for everyone. The Storm just building into a season, just learning to enjoy doing the hard stuff, getting comfortable, being uncomfortable. That's kind of the Storm trait, kind of building into these new combinations, working in with a lot of these new guys who are learning the Storm system, Katoa and that. So, I think getting these kind of wins now is probably going to set them up well, especially it's so early in the season. These guys know how to build into a season. Positive signs for Doggies, though. But, what do you think of this one? How do you see this going, Bob?
This one was the game that I thought the Doggies would get pumped by the Storm. Mm. But to the Bulldogs' credit, they performed for a much better 80-minute performance than the previous week, where they almost lost to 11 men, the Roosters. So, good on them for bouncing back on that. They got the win in the end against the Roosters. But, this one they could have easily... embarrassed the Storm. I talked about it last week, saying how, Dogs is one of those teams that can, if you don't turn up, they can embarrass you and pull your pants down. But they did really well, I thought, against a Storm team that had all of their guns playing in this game, and the Doggies really stood up. I thought, to be honest, I think Crichton looks way better at fullback. Yeah. Than he does at centre. I thought that their edges, Kikau and what's his face? Oh well, the guy from the Warriors, Curran.
Oh, Curran.
They had really good games. And Adam Carr again. That guy, he scored a hat trick, eh?
Quietly score a hat trick, but good to see him running freely again.
And this is where kicking is super important, to have a really good goal kicker, because, missing those kicks ultimately in the end cost them that game against the Storm. So, that could have gone either way, but in the end, lovely finesse from the Bulldogs, and Storm just able to grind that one out. You catch that one, Si?
Yeah, bro, it was a mean game. I think those days of
blowout
Doggies getting pumped are over, man. Like, they might not win all their games, but you definitely got to play well to beat them. Fuck, it just came down to, they had the game almost wrapped up, bro. They did enough. I think it was like 74th minute, bro. Blore, I think that's his name, crosses over for a try, and I was like, they've been D'ing up fucking awesome all game, bro. And it was almost like, I don't want to say simple, bro, but like just the second row, just running that line, bro, off Munster. And that was gutting, because they've been defending well all game. Mm. But the Storm do that, man. The Storm in a lot of games, well, like three or four games, I think, Broncos, the Warriors, we're fucking the last 5 minutes, bro. They've just done enough to hang on, but have brought it home. It's a little bit scary because Hughes is playing awesome, bro. Like Munster, he's just warming up, bro. He was hardly in the game, bro. You wait till the number nine starts running hard out, bro.
Great.
And then they got Nath coming back, big man. So it's fucking the Storm. They're pissing easy this year, bro. And I almost feel like they're not even showing their full cards, bro. They're just doing enough to beat teams. I was gutted for the Doggies fans, man. Big ups to Karaz, bro. Surely, how good is he going, man? He's made 300 meters that game.
303.
Like, he's one of those.
Yeah, damn. Carras.
He's one of their X Factor players, eh?
And it's good because, you know, he was there in the bad days for the Dogs, so good on him to be there now to kind of be part of the team.
Yeah, bro, he's looking really good at centre. I think moving forward, bro, Crichton's a good option there at fullback, just to get involved. And you look at the last guy, Bunnies, he's a bit of a journeyman. He does well to slot in there, bro, but Crichton's X Factor. I think they might have to look at Hutchinson. Like, it's good that Matt Burton's frees up as a 5'8". Like bringing into his running game, but fucking Hutchinson was bots guy a lot of those plays, man. Where just the old step back in, like, hey, you got Carras, you got Crichton, pass the ball out wide, man. Use your guns.
I thought there was one play where Critter just stood there, like that one where Cates was gonna get barreled out, and I thought if Critter had just run in and helped, then that guy would have been out. But he was hanging back waiting for, like, the offload.
Like an offload or something. Oh.
And then Kitz is, like, going out, and he just huckles his, eat-ass kick.
Oh, that's right, and his eat-ass kick.
It was an eat-ass kick. Yeah, that one. And then Critter was like, hey! Yeah. And then was it Rima Smith that just ran through and dived on the ball?
I was wondering, like, what, how he got that
on? That's a 10-ass try, man.
Such a
how many eat-ass fucking plays has Kitz put on, bro? I mean, I don't want to say eat-ass, but... He's just got this mouth of, like, pulling up some things out of his bully, eh?
That was, I guess he was going out and he just huckled the ball and then just happened to get his foot and then get through. Right. Everyone's on side. I was like, no way. It was Gax. I was thinking, oh, shit. You know, you can give Storm the tries where they structure their plays and they power their way up the field and they score from, like, really well structured tries, but you can't give those, you know, like the Warriors, you can't give away those bullshit tries, bro. Those ones are morale killers on the field. And I see Critter's face like, there he is.
There's nothing you can do. But I reckon Critter's probably got a chance to stay at the back there. Bronson Jerry, he looked real good. Those two touches he had for those tries.
Yeah.
Man, his hands. Real quick.
I think it was the first try. You know that long-range try that Adokar scored? Cherry, bro. Just his hands. Just it was beautiful.
Just got a real nice ball.
Yeah. Oh, should we have to fucking test him again, see if he's still... jokes. He's looking sharp, though, eh?
Yeah, so I think that allows Crichton to play at the back since he's looking good. The Storm are definitely looking a threat. All right, your Bronx, mate. Your Bronx, both Bobby and I picked the Dolphins. We didn't think you had the depth in your team. Oh, we thought it was false news as well when we read the team card and saw Reese Walsh. Like, oh, come on, mate. Where's the player welfare? Bringing this guy back with his...
I heard that.
RoboCop helmet, mate. What's going on?
Why are you bringing out player welfare, bro? Are you a full mate? You've got experience on our staff,
Just seeing guys, you know, fractured cheekbones out for like 6 weeks. You never see them for ages. This guy, 1 week, all of a sudden, he's back. I don't know what pills you guys are popping up there,
medicine's
mate.
Come a long way.
It's our technology, this was a good game. The Dolphins kind of no hammer, no chance. And just their depth as well kind of showed. I'll go to you first, Bobby, before the Broncos fan jumps in.
That first half was really competitive. And I think you're right, man. As soon as Hammer went off, but like it was that double whammy blow. Hammer goes off and Milford comes on. Like, if you start with like 100 and like Hammer gets injured, that's like, oh shit. You know, that's 20 points down to 80. Milf comes on and then you just lose like another 50.
How do you lose points when someone comes on?
That guy's a coach killer, man. Team killer.
Like, hey boy, bro, Milford,
that, that no ball hit. That was a local error.
I was cracking up. The referee is like, hold on, what's happening? It's back to his play. He's already given the penalty to the Dolphins. Sorry. Yeah, nah. And they did everything they could in that first half to stay competitive, I thought, the Dolphins. And to their credit, they kept the Broncos like to less than, what was it, like 6-0 or whatever the score was. It was real, real low. And then in the second half, as soon as they lost, they lost Hammer, and then like the Broncos just started to pile on pressure, and then just stupid plays from the Dolphins started to creep in. And then, you know, you lose players. Again, we talk about these talismanic players and teams that can carry them, that can provide the X factor, and Hammer is it for the Dolphins. And so when he was gone, like, it was, ah, damn it. Ah, scratch that pick. Broncos are going to come back now. And they did, you know, and that's what a team with all of those stars should have done, and they did. Like, the Broncos ended up piling on some points when they could see that the Dolphins were the walking wounded. And credit to them. I did think Corey Oates coming back into the Broncos is like, so there's a reason why Bing is starting in front of you, mate. Like, all of your talk about loyalty, this and blah, blah, blah. Like, it was, you know, it was actually really sad to see Corey Oates play the way that he did. Now, I think players who have been big parts of teams throughout, like, a long period of time, like Oates has been at the Broncos, it's sad to see them just continue to sort of stay on, thinking that they still have what they had 10 years ago. And, like, it's quite obvious that Corey Oates is nowhere near that same sort of form. And other players have come and have trained the house down and are now well ahead of him in terms of the pecking order for wingers. And so, you know, he's lucky that he's able to cover for injuries. But, you know, I'd probably, if there was another player, I'd probably pick that person over Corey Oates, because he looked super average. And then he makes that big long break that gets whistled back, and the man is gassed. I'm like, silly, you can't sub wingers.
I think after that run, he was fucking Lelavar for the whole game or something.
He was tired, and then they kicked that ball, and he just knocked it on. It was like, so it was just compounding errors on errors of that guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was laughing at Steve's comment. This guy's playing like a reserve grade. I was like, oh, he sure was. But yeah, there seems to be daylight now between Corey Oates of old and what we're seeing now, which is a shame, because Corey Oates has always been a you know, he's been a great servant to Broncos rugby league, and to see him playing the way he is now, it was kind of like that last season that Thurston had at the Cowboys. So he should have returned last year. He had terrible last season. But anyway.
Yeah, so your boys, mate, you backed them well before they got on the field.
Just quickly on what's it, Corey Oates. Because preseason over here, man, you know, like, Broncos fans, man, they can turn on their own players, man, like, easy. And, like, Benno was getting it, like, who's this, blah, 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 Corey Oates played over, you know, 200 games. But it just kind of showed, like, his body type, he's never really one of those wingers speed off the mark. So, like, he takes, you know, like, he's a rangy Francis Milley kind of giggle. Takes a while to get going, but now it's like, fuck it. He's got to run like 30 meters to reach top pace, bro. Like, he's just, I don't mind. Like, he's got caught out of position a couple of times, and then he starts making mistakes under the high ball, bro. That was putting me off with Oates. They've got a couple of good backups, like Pereira. Another Maori guy, I forgot his name, but fucking they've given Oates another go on the wing here. So, I don't know, man. I just think we left a couple of tries out there too. It was good to start the game, bro. Dolphins had a lot of ball, eh? And Broncos really had to defend on their line for a lot of sets.
Yeah, there was good defense on that first half, like just keeping them out.
Yeah, bro. It was pleasing to see that. I think they still haven't reached, you know, they still haven't really played well offensively. What's good about Broncos games, it's always entertaining because they got that athletic back, say, that can beat people one-on-one, but it still just seems a bit, like, there's a lot of Mimika plays. Like, I'm happy with the win, but I don't think they're playing really well without Reynolds, and it's just a lot will come down. They just need more so, like, outside of his kicking game, it's like just that calming influence. A lot of these boys like Walsh, Gobbo, they still got a
They're exciting, but they just don't know when and like bring it in and out of the game.
Yeah, and even Mam, like you like when these boys have a go, but sometimes you just gotta plug the corners or just do the responsible thing, eh? Like protect the lead. But sometimes these guys just attack at all costs. I don't know. I like to see a bit more of a balance in their play. Like, put teams away. Still a lot of errors. Madden's coming back, and so Reynolds with his hammy. I don't know that knee, man. They really gotta hope that he's coming back. I think the forwards standing up really well without Haas. Big plug for Xavier Wilson, man. I've been calling for this guy to come on the bench all year. They've been starting with Fletcher Baker, who, man, he's kind of been underwhelming, old Fletcher Baker. He's made fuck all meters, but it's just the way he runs. Like, he looks like he's running in third gear, man. Whereas, Wilson's not like a hard-hitting. He's a rangy type, almost like a
Tino,
yeah. You know, like he's I'd kind of call him like the new age front rower now, eh? He's got a little bit of everything, man. Power, speed, skills.
That footwork,
too. So he's exciting, man. Yeah. He's coming on the bench. But yeah, bro, it was a good win against like Dolphins, who are top of the table, so. But just not, I'll give it a 6 out of 10, bro. 6.5 out of 10. Dolphins, man, without the Hammer, they really got to be that grinding team, eh? Because the Hammer's like their X factor. But yeah, bro, it's another year down, and we're fussy these Dolphins trying to steal some Corp Stadium. But no, mate, this is our house, mate.
Yeah, another good Queensland derby, mate. All right, bringing it over to Auckland. The Warriors at Go Media Stadium, a draw against Manly. That's a loss, win, draw record at Go Media for the year so far. I was at this game. Crack up crowd. Like, yeah, I was saying to Bob in the chat earlier, like, just the difference. It reminded me, you know, when we came from watching the senior A's on the number 2 at Mount Smart? And then we came and watched Rogers Rugby in the number 1. I think it's all these convert families, because some of the little kids are like, oh, come on, ref. The mom's like, hey, don't say that. Oh, hey, lady, go, ref. Yeah, so I started just doing those ones with the kid. Like, boo, ref. Yeah, so it's quite interesting just seeing the crowd on the game just Pack
you're not a real league fan until your little kids start blowing
balling. Yeah, so it's cracking up when she's trying to contain her son, and he's like just asking me, what was that? Offside. Yeah, it's offside. yeah, I don't know. Like, it was quiet. Like, man, it was a real struggle to get into the game for the crowd. And it's almost like the crowd just turns up waiting for the Warriors to do it. I think the crowd needs to really get back into helping the boys along too, because, you know, the volume at the end when we just rode them home. Yeah, seeing people leave, mate. I took Roger's boy.
Really?
I took Josiah because Roger couldn't come, so he's manly hard.
Oh, yeah.
Just as bad as his dad. So about 8 minutes to go, people were doing the Mount Smart March. Yeah, people leaving. Roger and Josiah's doing this. Oh, he's going. The game's not finished.
I've said that many times there, mate. The Ericsson shovel.
Ever. That was cracking up when those people started getting up and just like, oh, where are you going? Where are you going? yeah, sure enough, I was saying to them, you got to miss another great Warriors comeback. And yeah, Bobby, where were you? Where were you sitting for this one? In your the main
stand? Yeah, just in our seats in the East Stand. It was a really good game. It's good turnout considering the weather was shit. You know, it was raining on and off during that game. I took my Up the Waz flag. It ended up being like a raincoat. Up the Waz. But I think the rain was the great equalizer on the night. Like both teams sort of took their chances to try and put points on the board, and you know. There were uncharacteristic errors from a lot of the Warriors players that are normally, you know, quite safe under high ball, safe when they were carrying the ball. You know, Roger knocked the ball on a couple of times. Tohu Harris right at the end there. And then, you know, players like Jackson Ford, that guy's got about two or three knock-ons in him a game so far this year.
It was like just like the Cronulla game, man. I was spewing at him.
I was like, so they hold the ball, man. You do some really good things, then you do some really silly things. yeah, like it was good. Like because the weather was shit, I kind of thought there'd be less people. But, man, it is the hottest ticket in town right now. And even with the weather the way it was, like, the stadium was packed. There were families everywhere. Yeah, the little kids. Man, that merch shop that you walk in, there's massive queues outside the merchandise shop, and all the stuff's always getting sold out. So,
yeah.
You know, there's no jerseys anywhere. Like, we've looked, and it's like, damn it. All these bandwagon mofos. So, yeah, it's good. Like, that's the environment that the Warriors have sort of created. Like, it's nothing new because they've had that same environment in all the years where we were getting our asses pumped. So, you know, just less people, obviously. But, you know, all the stores are still there, the same food stores, the same merchandise shops. It's just that because the Warriors are winning now, all of a sudden people are turning up. Like you said, those converts from Rugby Union are probably turning up to Mount Smart a bit more often than not. And, you know, the game itself, I thought Manly did really well to capitalise on those Warriors' mistakes. You know, wet ball, knocking the ball on, and then, you know, Manly doing what they do. And then just, you know, they're a good enough side to put points on you if you keep giving them the ball like that. So, you know, giving away possession and really shit field position, you know, that didn't do the Warriors any favours. And I mean, 16-0, 20 minutes into the game, it was like, it's terrible, you know. Terrible sitting there in the rain and say, oh no, nah, keep the faith, Bob, keep the faith. These guys are, all I can hear is my phone going, bing, bling, this fool, mute your ass, Simon, shut up. Stop commenting, man. We can't. Just because you're sitting there watching it on TV and you can just comment straight away. I said, Bing, I'm watching. Being part of this live, awesome performance from the boys. You know, and I knew that they could come back because the Warriors this year are not the same Warriors from 3-4 years ago.
You're worried, mate. You're worried.
No, mate. You know who was worried? It's the Manly fans that they comment on the chat. So it's like during the game when there's no chat from the Manly boys, I'm like, oh, these guys are like those Broncos guys last night that didn't say anything until 10 minutes from full time. Game's in the bag. I was like, oh.
Wait till it's in the bag.
I was like, nah, man, you got to back them from the beginning. And so I knew that the boys were going to be good enough to come back. So I didn't, you know, come back and be competitive and make it look like a better scoreline than 16-0. To come all the way back to get a draw, I thought they probably didn't deserve that because that was probably one of their crappier games this year, but the way they've been able to dig deep and to grind out those eat ass points in the back ends of games, you know, and again, you make your own luck. Waitini getting their intercept. He doesn't get that. Momentum still with Manly, and they probably go on to win that game. But that was a momentum killer for Manly, and it slowed things right down. The boys got sort of back to basics, and we were able to come. I mean, you know, a minute 48 out from the end of the game, and we're 8 points down. You know, that only the Warriors can do.
Only the Warriors.
Like, you know, and over the years at this club, how many times have the Warriors done super bullshit things like that to come from the impossible and then golden point, or to come in and win? You know, like that time that we got those two field goals against the Raiders that one year, like one to draw and then we won to win after. Yeah, I was like, that was eat us, just like this one. But, you know, it was a really good game to watch. I think even if we had lost, it still would have felt like a game that we did well enough to come back. You know, I thought Manly not being able to finish us off was probably a stink thing for Manly fans. Like, we had a couple of Manly, an old dude and his son were sort of sitting in there, but next to us going, "Go Manly, go Manly." And I was like, oh, these excited guys. And then by the end of the game, they looked so demoralized. The score was a draw, but Warriors fans were like, yeah. And all the Manly fans around us were like,
yeah, pretty much.
Come on, mate. Share the points, one each. But yeah, nah, it was a good comeback from the boys, and I really enjoyed that game.
Yeah, sure, bro. I thought it was one of those games by the end of full time, like, Warriors probably more relieved they got 1 point out of it, whereas Manly probably a bit more disappointed. Yeah, Bobby, you made a point about that first, I think, because they Manly come out, what, three tries ahead. I think it was 16-0 before I think Jazz crossed, and then that turning point was Waitini's Lesnik try just before half time, because Luke Brooks, man, it was looking on down the left, just botched it with the timing of that pass, hey, like, just took it to the line. But like, it's one of those plays, you go one or the other. We even could have just hit, like, kick in behind him or hold on and just delay that pass and find his winger, because forgot who the winger was, but I thought on attack, yeah, bro. On attack, Manly in the first half, should have been a couple more tries ahead. I think they were rude the fact that they didn't capitalize a bit more. And saying that, bro, Warriors second half, they probably deserved to draw with them, because I didn't think Manly was too flash on. Just to let even that last set, bro, watching the Lesnik, that seemed a bit like. Like, Warriors, they had the run of the ball, but, like, it's just a bit too easy the way he scored in the corner there. And then to cap it off with that Oscar-winning moment from Sean Johnson, it was like, man, Warriors got lucky there. And, like, with that to me is a bit controversial, because, you know, I don't want to be sad, because Lachlan Lister got really... Really badly injured, but where the fuck did Lachlan Ilias kick it for, man? This guy was right on top of him, bro. Carlo Faiskama, that's the Warriors backup 9A. What's his name? You got?
Yeah.
Like, that's oops, bro. That's like, you want your players to pressure the kickers like that, bro. And it was more Ilias kicking right in. I mean, he was right on top of him, and he still kicks the ball, and you could tell, because you could hear that on TV. It was the force of him kicking Glasic that broke his leg. And the reason why I bring it up, because that doesn't happen. I think Sean Johnson Aloai doesn't get penalised, because...
thing. If Aloai didn't do it, and then Johnson would have got that field goal over.
No, but what I'm saying is, I don't think that was bad enough to get penalised in the first place.
The
You know what I mean? He wasn't attacking the legs. Yeah. It was a little clip. It was a little clip on his foot.
I don't know. Otherwise, he would probably beg to differ. He pleaded guilty. He went to judiciary and pleaded guilty. So, obviously, he knows he did something wrong.
Oh, well, that's what I'm saying. It's a reaction judgment from what happened to Lachlan Ilias in that reserve grade game. Because I've seen a lot of charge downs that, like, they've let go. But now it's a bit of overreaction because of what happened to Lachlan Ilias.
But then is it like everything? Is it like everything? It depends on player impact. Like if Johnson doesn't milk that, do you reckon the ref even looks?
Well, I think because of what happened to Ilias, now they're coming down strong on this shit. I thought that he would have got the penalty anyway. But now you ask the question. Is every single little contact with the kicker's leg a penalty? Especially when it comes to fucking golden point. Man, what do you want people fucking putting pressure on the kicker? So what do you tell what do you coach your players, bro? Go for the tackle. Well, if tackle the body is all right.
So I think part of it is the setup. So like no team's done, I think it was the Dolphins or the Eels last year. And that was probably like, especially now that you can't have blockers. And so they had a two-man setup. And so you just go extra deep, but you just do two passes straight back. And it worked perfectly because it's just like, so you set up like maybe on the 10-meter, but you're still passing back to the 30 for the kick. And it worked perfectly, but I've never seen any other team try and follow and use that, especially just to give yourself that much time and space because you never see them set up because by the time you were kind of like at the 10 meter, now you're too close for the drop goals, and so they always want to try and set up further out, but then it's the risk of getting charged. So I don't know, maybe the teams, especially with how close the games went this week, I think more of the teams are going to start training.
I just think, like, and I'm not hating on Warriors getting a penalty here, I just think there's attacking the legs where you've kind of seen that in the past, like a reckless, like, remember James Graham did it on Adam Reynolds years back. On a Good Friday game, I think. But he dived
to his
straight
legs.
Into the legs. Whereas Aloai goes for the block. He jumps up and he's kind of on the way down. Just get Johnson's foot.
Mm.
And if anything, Johnson kicks it into him. So, like, what's Aloai to do, man? You want to put pressure on him, but I don't know, bro. I thought that was harsh. And then to give him fucking... I thought the penalty was suffice, bro. And now Kalafai's come on, he's got 2 weeks off. So that should be prison,
I thought he
mate.
Took an early guilty. I thought he's got 1 week.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, he's got the 1 week.
Yeah.
But we're basically giving you a free dropkick then. You can't touch. It's getting that way, because it's like almost like quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, so
can't touch these guys now.
Yeah, maybe they need to train a better way because, like, yeah, that's the thing. You want them to chase hard, especially now that there's no blockers. There's more chance to be able to stop that ball. But, yeah, I guess you just got to be able to figure out a way to do it without touching that kicker's legs. Yeah, the Manly kind of New Zealand battles always, you know, there's kind of like a traditional Kiwis second team. A lot of Kiwis grew up and had Manly as their team with Ridgie and that. Man, a lot of those Kiwi boys stood up. Sipley, he had a huge game. I think he was a monster. All of those forwards, I think, you know, just with Fanua Blake and the Warriors team too, I think they just wanted to kind of, you know, try and show that just because he was their enforcer, it's not like they've lost anything. So I think they went a long way to helping those forwards get that go forward. But yeah, just a team with that many kind of footy brains, you just see Turbo, like, watching him just that defense, and you kind of saw when the Warriors were struggling to get around, you know, they always had the numbers, that move that we just strip around and Johnson will go out the back to Roger and then Montoya, but they had us every time. So it was frustrating, but it was good to see the Warriors kick down the front door and just go through the middle of Jazz. And I think that was only out of frustration from just that Manly defense. Real good gritty win. Good signs again, like you mentioned in the last week, Bob, just the difference between a bad and a good game for the Warriors has come so small now. Like these are the kind of games I'm not throwing my toys, you know. Usually it'd be like, that's such a disappointing. You know, still that consistent and just still seeing those things. Like I said, I'll give Nicol Klokstad, you know, 3 weeks to kind of get into his timing. He saw some of that stuff, maybe just excited to be back home, you know, kind of his first game at Mount Smart this year. So I think maybe he just got a bit excited. That one when he got to the line and just flicked it on the first. I was like, oh, calm down, man. We just caught it. We're perfect position and you just threw it.
Klokstad had an awesome game. You know, if you're a tired ass forward and you're sort of trudging back to get onside and you see Nicol Klokstad run the ball like he does, it's like, man, and that's the difference. When you see Joey Manu do what he did on Thursday, Chance do what he did on Saturday, and you compare that to like Latrell Mitchell itself, and then like people calling him lazy. And I know this is a bit of a segue into another team, another player, but man, Latrell ain't no fullback, man. Like he doesn't offer sort of impact that Chance or you know, Joey
Munn. It's almost how, like, this is what fullbacks got to play now, eh?
Yeah, hard out.
They've got to touch the ball 2 or 3 times a set.
You know, I was reading
what something. What do you guys, I was going to ask you about the Fisher Harris, bro. What fucking awesome news, man. That's an upgrade, eh? Is that an upgrade or what? Like, no, I know Adam Fanua Blake's right up there with the best props, but. Man, you got the New Zealand Kiwis captain here, man. What do you guys think of that, man? Warriors best buy ever?
Probably close to it. I think it's definitely an upgrade because you got, like you said, Kiwis captain, but you also got a premiership winning prop coming across to your team that adds that experience of grand finals, of winning grand finals, knowing what it's like and what you need to do throughout a season to stay fit, stay healthy. You know, knows what it takes to get to the back end of the season and to play footy, finals footy. So, you know, definitely an upgrade. Is he the best buy of the Warriors? Probably close to it. I reckon he's probably up there with RTS, to be honest, when Roger first came over from Sydney City. Like, that was a massive coup because I know those guys were grooming Roger to be the next Minicello when Mini was getting close to retiring. And then when he ended up coming over to the Warriors, everyone was like, hey! And so, yeah. And, you know, I think he's right up there with being one of the Warriors' best buys ever.
Yeah. Just, you know, just, I guess that's reflecting the draw of the Warriors too. You know, it just reflects how well they're going to be able to attract good talent. You know, it's no longer... like you said, one of the other weeks, you know, a place where players used to come to retire, you know, just I'm a Kiwi, I'm just going to go back there and settle down now, get my end of my paycheck. Like, even kind of, I think Isaac Luke changed that kind of because everyone thought he was coming here to finish out his career, and he really, you know, gave it a good run at the end of his career. And now just seeing, you know, especially with those kind of connections that. You know, Andrew Webster has. So, you know, Fisher Harris knows those systems, Capewell.
True. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so just a lot of young kids as well, you know, kind of the young talent that we have coming through, you know, Jacob Leban and that. Having guys like that just to guide them and help them understand that level of professionalism they need to be elite. Real exciting buy. Awesome timing too, you know, that's a... Yeah, like for like, or even an upgrade, I reckon, from Fanua Blake. You know,
big time.
Fanua Blake time is upgrade. Such a leader in his actions. That you're having someone like Fisher Harris just to help these young kids with their professionalism.
To get someone like that, like you said, like I think Warriors, and no disrespect to the past players, but they have been like collect your pension kind of buys. Whereas now, with the exception now, Bobby just touched on RTS with his signings. Now you got a superstar at his peak, man. Like, you know, at the very peak. And, you know, I think Warriors have up their sleeve, like, to begin with, ideally, man, that you want to hold on, identify these players when they're young because obviously come from the Kiwi New Zealand system. But what they got up their sleeve, bro, is getting these Kiwis wanting to come back, yearning to come back home, play in front of their family. Like, they can... Someone like Fisher Harris, bro, if you're another Kiwi, you know, when it comes to international time, you start talking to, you know, fellow players and the team, man, you should come along. That's what is going to happen, bro, because you see quality, man, you know, like, and you know, think he's just gonna think, fuck man, I'm gonna go back home. This team's looking pretty good, you know. Do the old Harris DeVito, I don't wanna play. Oh no, I wanna play now. But nah, bro, that's me, easily the big guy. Easily the big guy.
But when I read that what Chanel had said, I was thinking, suddenly who even does that? Like if that's your state of mind and that's what you're thinking, keep that shit to yourself, man.
We were all thinking like, well, this guy just wants to come when we're playing, but now he's actually come out and fucking said it. Yeah. Like,
he's like, exactly. I saw them playing, and then I was like, I want to be part of it again. Like,
not the
just a little.
I want to break myself.
Up playing for so long. I need a break.
I found the X and gave me the eagle powers. And now...
Do you think these players are changing room? You think these players in that changing room that did the old, hey, bro, good to have you back. But really, on the inside, they're like, where the fuck were you last year, bro? Just gallivanting around Europe.
You know what? They like, probably thought that. And then that, you know, reading that as a public, you know, members of the public, I'm thinking, man, what do his teammates think when they read that? The ones that busted their balls last season up the wires.
We had a stink year with you too, man. But then we stuck it out. We believed.
And then to say, oh, you know, if they didn't have the year that they did last year, I probably wouldn't come back. I say, hey, guy, you should have just not come back. We don't need that in our team, man.
If I'm in that team, I'd be like, fuck, I wish I could go have a kafal for a year and then come back and get a new contract.
Let me go spend some of my kupe then. I've been wondering why I was working so hard, but I ain't never seen these paychecks.
Honestly, man. I was thinking, suddenly you're lucky you are as good a player as you are, and that Webbs is probably thinking, "Say shit, I've got players injured. I need this fool in my rotation." But you know, he's only coming in the last 5-10 minutes. I'm thinking, I have a feeling that him coming out in public's probably, you know, it's probably dented his reputation a little bit. You know, at Mount Smart, I was like, Sully, don't say shit like that out in public. And that just goes to show how immature he thinks. Yeah. It's like, Sully, that's not even funny. You know, that might be something you say as like a funny crack-up joke in your small circle of friends.
Too honest, man.
But don't go and galati that to the world. Like, yeah, nah, it's because up the wires and do really well. I wouldn't have come back if they did Gaia like our COVID years. Oh. It's terrible. It's terrible.
All right, let's move on to the next game. The Eels. The Eels and the Cowboys. What'd you go on this? Did you go Eels on this, Bobby?
I went Cowboys on this one because I honestly thought that the Eels were playing terrible. You know, they got pumped by the Raiders the week before, but then they bounced back. But, you know, they bounced back against a team that's I thought had been playing really well, like the Cowboys have been playing well this season. You know, I didn't actually think that they would do well, but I think they'd done better with Dylan Brown stepping up. Like, they're still waiting on Moses to come back, but, you know, he's kind of stepping into the gap, like, doesn't matter if Moses is not here. I'm here. Yeah, and again, Hopgood played really well. Gustafson. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I honestly thought that the Cowboys had enough to beat the Eels in this game. But in the end, they didn't, so...
Yeah, that's the thing. The Cowboys are a bit of a worry, like kind of floating in and out of games. Some, you know, kind of games they should have, and then they kind of just fall off. They started hot on the beginning of this one. You know, they missed a try because of obstruction, and then they got the next one. It's just interesting. Like, just the way the Cowboys are going. Good to see Dejan in there. I think that, really freed up Dylan. I don't know. What do you think about this one, Si?
It was a good game. It was a tight game. I think both clubs are kind of similar where they're at. I think the Cowboys will be a bit disappointed because you got the Eagles without Mitchell Moses, bro. They're like, this is prime picking to get a win off them. So Eels, man, they after bringing in Arcee back, I think they were better for it. And this guy's I don't know, it's a bit unlucky. Like, I think he's good enough to be a regular 5'8" or regular half in the competition, but he just kind of give Dylan Brown a bit more time to not have to run the team around. So in that regard, the Eels were a lot better with Dylan Brown and Arcee there. I think last week they had, what's his name, Blaze Talangi in it standoff, and I don't know, for kid young, that young, it was probably a bit too much of an ask. Cowboys, man, they kill me on my picks every fucking week, man. Like, they just look like awesome when they get, you know, when they hold on to the ball and they got drink water. They got these stars on the back line. They got a pretty decent pack, but they're not, they're real inconsistent, bro. They're fucking everywhere, every week. I just want to mention Tomalolo. He looks like a real shadow of himself, man. Like, I really think he's carrying an injury, man. It's a bit sad to see a brother like that. Because we know what he's capable of. He was one of the first props to start running. Well, he's like on 200
that,
plus.
When you look at that leader list of Manu and all of them, he's still in there. Mm. He's only one of the few forwards in that list now.
Yeah. But, I know the coach has limited his time, and you know, he's taking a big bulk of the paycheck as well, $1 million a season. But I don't know, bro. I think they need more from him. I think they, yeah, it's just hard to see with the Cowboys. Like, it's really tough to even cement them in the top eight, let alone fucking top four. They're an inconsistent team, bro. But if They're a bit like the Broncos. They got the attack to fucking score from anywhere, man. But I don't think their defense is as good. Both teams, bro. Both teams, a bit hard to judge whether they're going to make the eight or not. I think Eels, I would say, with Mitchell Moses, yep, definitely make the eight. But I'm not sure when he's come back. But it was an entertaining game, bro. But Eels done enough, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Morgan Harper looked a bit better in this game. Probably one of his better games for the Eels. Unfortunate for him, latest news coming out, I see Zach Lomax might be signing with the Eels. That'll be interesting if that's likely to put Harper out. Or, which side they're looking to move him into. True.
Fuck, he's better on the wing, eh?
Man, is he? Yeah, this guy just having a cry about being centre. I was like, bro, you're ripping up on the wing. How many tries is he scoring?
Well, that'll test him if these reports are true about it, because they say he's like not happy about playing on the wing. But if I could look at every game, bro, they even mentioned his name for Origin possibility. Yeah. So, I mean, like, can you be that pissed off that you're playing that well? But it'll be funny if he does want to play centre and then he ends up getting signed by the Eels to play on the wing. So, I don't know. I think he's more suited to wing, to be honest.
Mm. Well, yeah, at the moment he's looking every bit a winger. But yeah, we'll see how that story breaks out over the next few weeks.